So this coming Tuesday on the church calendar is Epiphany, a celebration of God's manifestation in Jesus. And in the Western church, we reflect on Epiphany through the story of the three Magi, who see a star of significance in the sky and follow it to find who they presume is a newborn ruler for the Jewish people. But who were these three folks that we call Magi? Where did they come from? What's their significance in the story of Jesus and to us today? Now, historically, if this actually happened, they were probably part of the priestly caste of Zoroastrianism, which made a lot of use of astrology in their religion. And traditionally, we call them the wise men or kings or magi. And the church tradition has even named them as Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. If we put ourselves in their place, as people who studied the night sky, we can imagine how they might have been filled with awe and mystery when a star appears that wasn't there before. It's an extraordinary event that might have even challenged their assumptions and understandings of the universe. And maybe this is how we are to approach God. Not sure of ourselves and confident that we know everything, or even in fear like Herod, but full of the awe and the sense of mystery like the Magi who approached Jesus. Hearts open to revelation, open to learning, open to transformation. The Epiphany, with a capital E, is about the manifestation of God in Jesus, but Epiphany in a non-religious sense means a moment of sudden revelation or insight, kind of an aha moment. And really, I think the two are actually the same. The Epiphany with the capital E, the religious day, is an epiphany. It is God revealing God's self to us through Jesus. The love of God incarnated into human form is a revelation, an aha moment worthy of awe and a sense of mystery. It is God revealing that God's love manifests in this world in unexpected ways and in unexpected places, such as a small baby born to a working class parent in a small town that's off the beaten path, in a rural country occupied by a larger, more powerful nation. Unexpected ways, unexpected places. Epiphany is God revealing God's self, not just to a select, powerful, or pious few, but to all who could care to look and see. A star in the sky is visible to anyone who wants to look and investigate. So this is not a revelation meant for just the Jewish people, but for everyone, including those from faraway lands who probably knew little of the religion of Jesus' family. The opening of John's gospel also fits well with the story of the Magi because it too reflects upon Jesus as God's revelation. John tells us that Jesus is the Word in which all things exist. And John purposely calls upon the images of Genesis and the creation story to tell us that Jesus is God's statement of love and creative power, the foundation of our being. In the beginning was the Word, and God said, "Let there be light," and it was good. John tells us that Jesus is the light in the darkness, our source of hope, our path to the divine. And as that light, Jesus reveals truth and is truth, the truth of who God is and who we are as God's children. The Magi came to Bethlehem searching for something, following a star, seeking something momentous, and they found it. But the story tells us that they came to not only find and to receive, but to give something as well. They came bearing gifts. And each of the gifts that the Magi bore, I believe, also have something to tell us. Frankincense was one of the gifts. Frankincense is an incense of the temple. And I actually have, but it's taped shut. I should have removed the tape before this sermon. Well, okay. Pass it around. It's not, yeah. So that's supposedly frankincense. I was given that from someone who visited the Middle East, Israel. Yeah. So as an incense of the temple. And so maybe the gift of frankincense is meant to remind us that Jesus is a child of God, holy and sacred, a new kind of priest for the people. And when we search for God, we are to come in the spirit of awe and reverence, remembering that this is a sacred journey on sacred ground where we are to offer our own sacred being to the divine, expressing our willingness to also be ministers and to serve others as Jesus served. And the second gift that the Magi brought was myrrh. Myrrh is a funeral oil. Of course, this is not in oil form, but and as a funeral oil, we might understand it as a foreshadowing of Jesus' death on the cross. When we search for God, we are to come in the spirit of sacrifice, knowing that to be transformed and to transform the world, we may have to leave behind things such as our attachments to wealth and to power. The myrrh speaks to our willingness to change, to become someone new in Christ, to be reborn. And finally, gold, and I highly doubt that this is real gold, but it's pretty. Gold is the symbol of a ruler. It says to us that this is someone who is worthy of our allegiance. When we search for God, we are to come in the spirit of generosity and dedication. The gold speaks to our willingness to give of the best of ourselves, to dedicate all we have to God's kingdom of peace and justice. What else might it mean to follow the light like those ancient visitors did? Well, it might mean going where our gut, where our heart, where our intuition tells us to go, where the Spirit leads us to go. It might mean following our dreams, filling our spiritual journey with hope and the expectation that something extraordinary is happening, and opening ourselves to new revelations in what we see and experience along the way. As we reflect on Epiphany, on what it means that God's love and light was incarnated into this vulnerable child Jesus, we can also take some time to reflect on what stars we follow in our lives, and what are those stars revealing to us? And what gifts of ourselves do we bring on this journey? When the Magi found the child Jesus, they prostrated themselves, showing their devotion to the revelation of God's love. And then they purposely ignored Herod, the powers of the world, the powers that would destroy the light, because they need darkness to hide their own corruption and evil. Herod responds to the news of Jesus' birth by striking out. The story in Matthew that we read, and I think you heard last week, goes on to tell us that Herod ordered the murder of all the children in Bethlehem under 2 years old, trying to kill the light. And this behavior, selfish and violent, thinking only of maintaining his own power, of course, reminds me of many of our political leaders today. Are we following the light, giving ourselves to God's kingdom of love? Or do we never make it past the Herods of the world, hiding with them in the darkness? The Epiphany invites us to open ourselves to the divine word, to the wisdom and light in ourselves that comes all around us in both expected and unexpected places. And of course, the alternative to opening ourselves to the revelation of God's love is fear, like the fear that Herod lived in. Fear that everything around us is a threat. Fear of the change and transformation that comes with love. And so again, I ask, what figurative stars do we follow in our lives as we seek the revelation of truth? And what do they reveal to us? Where are they leading us? Jesus' life and teachings reveal the love of God that exists in each one of us and all around us, showing us that the revelation of God's love comes in unexpected places, a stable, in unexpected ways, born to a poor family. And it comes to all people without conditions. And as we walk in the light of Christ, giving ourselves to this awe-filled and mysterious journey, may we find the love of God revealed to us and in us, not only through Jesus, but in the multitude of little ways that we encounter the divine in each other and in creation, practically every minute of every day. And may that love fill us, that we too become a star, a light, revealing God's love for someone else in need. Amen.